to God. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome, everyone. Praise God. It's great to have your fellowship around the Word. Praise the Lord. I trust all is well with you. Praise God. And the Lord has a great feast and a great blessing for us this evening. Hallelujah. As we look away from our circumstances and those things that the enemy tries to buffet us with, and praise God as we look to Him, wonderful Saviour. In seeking the Lord, obviously I'm seeking the Lord. I want to get it right concerning Ephesians, a deeper teaching, and so I'm still waiting on Him on that. And so what the Lord has, I trust, wants to encourage, with a simple but a blessed message on faith this evening. If you can turn to Psalm 103. It's a simple faith message, but I trust we don't think we're so mature in the faith we don't need to be encouraged. Praise God in faith. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of a field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A psalm there extolling God's mercies, God's grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just commit this word into your hands, and I thank you, Lord, that you will be glorified this night through your word, through that precious seed that is sown in our hearts that will bear fruit for your glory in time to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Well, praise God. Praise the Lord. That means praise Him. Bless Him. Truly give Him the glory. The psalmist there calls upon his soul, his life, his entire being, to praise the living God. Everything that's within him, his life. Soul there is the entire being. The soul is the life of the person. It's also the seat or the source of the emotions. So, you know, it's not about sort of being formal, not about being British. Praise God, God isn't British. Hallelujah. We can praise Him. We are allowed to feel excited when we praise the Lord. We are allowed to experience Him, you know. But those emotions have to be under control, don't they? We don't let them run riot all over the place. But I mean, we worship God. He's a living God. He is the living God. We worship him in spirit and in truth. We are to give him praise and thanksgiving. Sometimes our circumstances are dire. I actually believe, in fact, saying that our circumstances are dire, we're beginning to taste God's judgment on planet Earth. Things are getting worse. So if we're looking to circumstances as a reason for thanking God, we're not going to find it always. Now, but we are preserved, just as the children of Israel in the land of Goshen, remember in their sojourn in Egypt, so we are preserved. We are mightily a blessed people. We're preserved in the midst of what God is having to allow on planet Earth. Now, you know, we've heard recently, and we know from Scripture, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And okay, so there's a shaking. A shaking is going. God is shaking the heavens and the earth. So with the express purpose that whatever is built by man, whatever is flesh, whatever is not of God, whatever is not by the Spirit or God's perfect will, that edifice, that building, or even things in our lives, that will come crashing down. That will be exposed for what it is, and it will be removed as we bow the knee. And so, yeah, we're going through all of those things. But friends, we are redeemed. He is our Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
The judge of heaven and earth, the judge of all the earth, the judge of the universe, is our Heavenly Father. Praise God. If God be for us, who can be against us? So let that shaking occur. Let these things happen. But friends, as we walk each day in the Spirit, God will reveal to us what he requires of us in that. Do we intercede? Do we pray? Do we talk about it? Do we make a pronouncement on it? You know, so many Christians have so many ideas of, but as we walk in the Spirit, we will know whether he requires intercession. We'll be sensitive, we'll be picking up, Father, I believe you're speaking to me in this. You know, what is it you require of me in this? But dear friends, we are redeemed. We are at a banqueting table. We are feasting, dear friends, upon the Lord, upon his faithfulness, upon all his abundance that he's provided. You know, we have emphasized the cross in this message, in this ministry, in this assembly, but perhaps a word of explanation is needed here. By cross, by Calvary, what we mean is all that took place there. So yes, Jesus died, his blood was shed, praise God, to give us this great redemption at a great cost. But friends, the cross, the atonement, the blood that was shed is the moral basis for our faith. So what is our faith? Our faith is the resurrection. We are a resurrected people. Yes, we're crucified with him, buried with him, but we're united in him. Friends, surely, resurrected in with him. In and with him.
Hallelujah.
We are a resurrection people. He has ascended at the right hand of God, and Scripture says we are in him. Praise God. In him, seated with him, in the self-same place that he is. Speaking of our authority. Now, if we concentrate on the cross and on death and on the trials, and I know those things have been emphasized, and the reason, you know, is obvious, because we need encouragement that yes, we're suffering, we're going through trials, but yes, you are in God's perfect will, you haven't missed it because you're going through a trial. We're having to wait. This is a time of patience. We are learning endurance. Our prayers have not yet manifested. They have been answered, but the manifestation has not yet taken place. So in the meantime, it's a time of waiting. It's a patience. There's things we're learning through our endurance. But friends, that's all the more reason to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and everything that is within me. Bless his holy name. His holy name, Jesus. salvation, redemption, healing, deliverer. He is those things. They're in his name. And they're in us by faith. Because our faith is that resurrected life and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life for us. His life has been given in exchange. That's what atonement means. Atonement is one of those English words like repent. We only know what it means because we've had it explained theologically. But the first time you hear repent, you sort of have an understanding, well, that's something vaguely religious. I think it means to be sorry. You've sinned and you're sorry. Or atonement. Yeah, that's one of those deep theological words. I think it has something to do with what Jesus did at Calvary. But when we understand what the Greek and the Hebrew mean, repent, to change one's mind, Hebrew should to turn, it's much clearer, isn't it? We change, we turn, we stop what we're doing, we change direction, we walk away from our sins to God. In other words, we have to turn around, we change our attitude. That's why Jesus said, change your mind, repent, he said, change your mind. And believe the gospel. The Greeks, the people there, they weren't Greeks, they were Greek speaking by that time. His hearers there would have understood immediately what he meant. They didn't hear repent, they heard change. And change your mind. Believe the gospel. Change your attitude of unbelief, of fear, of sin, of pride. Change that. Believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Praise God. And so atonement, reconciliation, covering, an exchanged life. We're reconciled, we're covered, and we now enjoy an exchanged life. God has exchanged the life of Christ for our life. Think on that a minute, friends. His life for our life. Our lives are hid in Christ. We're crucified with him, that old life is died. We're now risen with him. We're now living his life. His life freely surges through your veins. His life touches every cell in your physical being. His life inspires every thought in your mental being. This is what David is saying. Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the living God. Bless his holy name. Everything within you and I can bless him because it is now living a new life. That eternal life, that abundant life that Jesus gave so freely. And the word freely means liberally. At great cost, he liberally poured out. He poured it out. His righteousness, his life, eternal life. Why will we endure to the end? Because we're strong? Maybe. We're only strengthened by the Lord, aren't we? Why will we endure to the end? Because Jesus has placed within us his eternal life. And because it's eternal, it will endure. No matter what happens to this old frame, no matter what happens to this healthy, young, strong, renewed frame, praise God, let's keep a good confession, but let's face reality. It's a vessel. The outer man is perishing as the day approaches, never mind. But we are partaking of eternal life. We will endure to the end because his life endures forever. Had no beginning. Perhaps endure is the wrong word because it had no beginning and no end. Praise God. Eternal life. Didn't start, will never end. Always was. Self-existent, uncreated, eternal. We're everlasting now, but there was a time when we weren't. But now that we have his eternal life dwelling within us, as we choose to persevere, he will preserve us. And we will experience that eternal life. We will experience that eternity with him because he is living his life in us and through us. Oh, praise God. We ought to be able to be distinguished as we go about our business the world should distinguish us as those people with that light around them, with that light coming through their eyes, that smile, that cheery disposition, that just, how come you're still smiling? I know what you're going through, but look at you, cheerful, praising your God. I want what you have got. Oh, praise God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Praise God. He repeats, he says it again. Why are we blessing? Forget not all his benefits. Do not forget all his benefits. Well, he goes in a minute, we're going to see the list that he gives. But what are his benefits? Praise God. Anyone want to tell me what his benefits are? Well, we're a joint heir with Christ. None come to an end. We are joint heirs with Christ, friends. We have by inheritance what he has by nature. We are by inheritance, we are by redemption what he is by nature. He's sharing it with us. An equal share of him as well as his kingdom. Now let's let that truth sink in. Joint heirs with Christ. It isn't just a blessing. It isn't just a million blessings. It isn't just the fulfillment of a promise. It's eternal. An eternal security as a joint heir with Christ. We call God Father. He's the unique Son. He has given us access to the very presence of God, into the very heart of the Father. The Father's heart can be touched by a prayer of faith. Think on that a minute. One so holy who cannot look upon sin has now opened his heart to be touched by your prayer of faith. He will not turn us away when from a humble heart we cry out for those touches. We cry out for a living experience with a living God. Oh, friends, we are accepting too little. We're easily fogged off. The devil growls, or he puts within our minds, oh, you can't have that, you're not worthy. You haven't prayed or fasted for the last 6 months. Now, come on. You've not really been that obedient, have you? You've not really stirred up the gifts. You've missed a few prayer meetings. What a naughty person. What an unfaithful saint you are. Dear, dear, dear. And here you are. You can't have all that. You need to get back to some prayer, to some fasting. You need to... Oh, friends. Okay. There are conditions to meet, yes. There are conditions to meet. But God is working within us, both to will and to do, for his good pleasure. He is... Once we've made that commitment, he's got hold of our lives, and whatever we go through, we're going to see later how he truly feels about us. He'll make whatever adjustments are necessary. He knows what we go through on a daily basis. We're flesh and blood. We're not religious robots that don't need rest or food or relaxing or another's company. He knows what we are. Friends, as long as in our heart, our love for him, we bow the knee, he is what we think of all the time. You know, we've done a day's work, we've been busy, sit down and relax, and our first thought, really our heart of hearts, set upon him. We're joint heirs with Christ. He blesses us on the basis, on the ground of atonement, and on the basis of our faith. In him, in his risen, resurrected, ascended life and power. You know, our faith cannot be built unless the object of that faith is power. Unless the object of our faith gives us power, how can a man's failure result in redemption? Think on that a minute. How can a man's death result in redemption? But the point is, his death wasn't a failure because he was our substitute. He is a sinless substitute. Therefore, God raised him up because his sinless sacrifice was accepted on our behalf. The seal of that is that God raised him up. So our faith is in the power of his resurrection. Praise God. Isn't that something to bless the Lord about? Isn't that something to be excited about in the right sense of the word? That's what it is to be a joint heir with Christ, a believer in all that he has promised, all that he has provided on the basis of his risen life. If we turn to Romans 4 and verse 25. Oh, praise God, come on, Christians. Glory to God. A joyous, thankful, happy people. Yes, Lord, I am listening. Praise God. Well, yes, it's in the eyes, isn't it? You don't walk around like a Cheshire cat, but when you're with a person, you know they've got the joy of the Lord, no matter what they're going through. Romans 4 and verse 25, who was delivered up, speaking of Jesus, praise the Lord, delivered up because of our offences. Yes, the cross had to do its work. The cross had to happen. And he was raised because of or for our justification. We're justified by our faith in the resurrection. Glory to God. He's alive. The angel says the good news. It's good news, friends. He didn't just say, you know, to the shepherds, I've got good news. I've got great news of the Messiah. Goodwill to all. Peace to mankind and goodwill to all men. And then it has to, you know, but it'll end in disaster. You know, sorry, this great news is going to end in a terrible way. Mm-hmm. He's sinless. Death could not hold him. For him to conquer sin means he's conquered death. That's the good news of the gospel.
Yes,
the wages of sin is death. He's, because he's conquered sin, he's conquered death because he's sinless. And so what is the good news? Well, the angel also told it to Mary and the disciples. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He has risen and gone before you into Galilee, as he said. He's risen, friends. He's alive. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of the kingdom. We serve a risen Saviour. So let's have some resurrection faith around here, friends. Not some moping around dead faith. Oh, I've got to die. Oh, the cross. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some risen, resurrected faith. A joint heir with Christ. You say, well, what does that mean, a joint heir with Christ? Now, that's a good question, because you're taking it seriously. If we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, beg your pardon, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What is it to be a joint heir with Christ? Do we actually know what it is to be complete in him? To be complete in him. Do we actually know what belongs to us? What is the whole realm of sonship? What does it mean to be a son? To be sons of the living God, joint heirs with Christ. Sons of God, joint heirs with him. Well, an honest answer is, Lord, I don't really know. Please show me. We can get theological, but it means this, this, and this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And we love him because he first loved us. But here's the good news. Okay, that's our honesty. Lord, it hasn't even entered into my heart or mind what belongs to me as a joint heir with Christ. But, verse 10, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Praise the living God. The deep things of God. Those things that have to be searched out, maybe. But it's God who's going to help you in that work, friends. Don't you start trying to toil and labour and seeking things out. Because those that have gone before, those who did not have the benefit of speaking in tongues, those who did not have the baptism, the Puritans, they went through much labour and pain seeking out the deeper things of God. They meant business, and it cost them. They would spend hours in travail, in labour, in the word and prayer, birthing these things through. Now, the early church didn't, because it was revealed, it was given. The apostles had great revelation, especially Paul, but it cost them, didn't it? For the privilege of that revelation, think what Paul had to go through, that thorn in the flesh. He was caught up into the third heavens, as you know, tremendous revelation. And yet now here he is saying to us, that same Spirit, so we now have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working that he has us. That's the main thing, isn't it? In that place of consecration. Friends, if we're truly seeking that kingdom, if we truly are consecrated unto him, why isn't the Lord showing me these things? Why don't I see it? Friends, let's use the analogy. Right? When a shepherd gets hold of a sheepdog, he chooses one, a certain character, that will submit to the training. No good to him, he's a working dog. It's no good to the shepherd if he's off every 10 seconds running around playing with the other pups. He needs a dog who will do what he says. Okay. Now, friends. Okay, fellowship. Running around playing with the other puppies. But if you want this revelation, if you want to go deeper with God, to hear and see the deeper things of God, it's a cost. There is a cost to pay. That consecration, setting yourself apart, waiting on God, the word, prayer. Now again, remember, don't lose sight of the resurrection. Oh, he's off on the cross again. No, that just, God will do it by his Spirit. Look at the text here, it says, the Spirit searches all things. We haven't got to search it all out by our own effort, by our own cleverness. Praise God. The Spirit will search. The Spirit will reveal. The Spirit will work. All we're giving God, what are we giving God? All I can give him is my heart. I'm not going to insult him with my best, because that'll never be good enough. But if I give him my all, if I give him all I've got, which is me, then he will do the rest.
Amen.
That's all I can do.
Amen.
And it's also the least I can do, isn't it? I can't give him any less than that. Wonderful redemption that we have. Praise God. He gave me his all. Didn't hold anything back from me. So how can I insult him? By giving him something as puny as my best. I have to give him my all. Praise God. The Holy Spirit reveals. John 16. Oh, do we understand our inheritance? Dear friends, the thing that Jesus died to purchase for us, Jesus purchased it with his blood. The Holy Spirit, he then sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is now working that we inherit what Jesus purchased for us. The Father willed it. Jesus purchased it. The Spirit is now working it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. John 16 and verse 13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he, please notice he, I know I keep saying it, but he, will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. So even now, the Holy Spirit is God. But even he does not speak on his own authority. We've got a lot to learn, haven't we?
Yeah.
Jesus didn't do these things by himself, but as the Father showed him. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. Who's he hearing it from? From the Father. And also the Son. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come.
Praise the Lord.
He will tell you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. Friends, he will guide you into all truth. Friends, that means not only theological truth, not only revelation, but what belongs to you. The truth about you. The truth of what his walk is for you. Do you remember Peter was saying to the Lord about John, he was saying, and what about this man? What will this man do? And Jesus, he didn't say, well, mind your own business exactly, but he said, what is that to you? You follow me. So, friends, don't let's start looking around, you know, what about him, what about her, is he? Friends, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord, because his eyes are on you, and he will show you what he has for you. Praise God. The truth of what he has for you, as well as the great, you know, the universal truths, but also the personal truths. But you don't have to look inward for that. Not talking about being selfish or anything psychological here, but what he has for you, your ministry, your calling, your place in the body of Christ, the way he's about to bless you, the blessings, the promises that he's going to fulfill in your life, to be a blessing to the body of Christ, the fruit that you're going to enjoy for all eternity. No, he won't show every detail now. Again, just a quick word about trials. When we go through trials, he doesn't show us every precise detail, so that, because he's working with our faith, isn't he? He doesn't give us neat, precise answers. Remember, we looked a couple of weeks ago, the cross can make a mess of the most orderly life, can't it? The cross can really make a mess of things. When a person goes to the cross, all his diary, his calendar, all that he had planned for the next week or few months, all that goes with him. That's all gone to the cross, friends. Praise God. But we look to a resurrection, don't we? We look to that new life in Christ. Let him make your plans, friends. It's a God-planned life. Let him show you what he has for you. Isn't that so much better than trying to make your own schedule, your own list, your own project management? Let him be your project manager. Let him show you what the next thing is that he has for you. Oh, glory to God. And so whatever he hears, he will speak. Faithful, true witness, whatever he hears, he will speak. So when he speaks it to you, when he speaks it to your heart, he's heard that from the Father. And he's giving it to you. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? And he will tell you things to come. Oh. So we don't need these really clever political analysts, do we? We don't need these worldly minded anti-Semitic news reports, do we? We need the Holy Spirit to show us what's happening in Israel. We need the Holy Spirit to show us what these prophecies mean, how they're going to be fulfilled in their time and in God's way. Isn't that right, friends? We don't need the worldly intellect, the political awareness and all the isms. We only need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the things that are shortly to come to pass. Praise God. He will glorify me. He will glorify me. That's how you know it's the Holy Spirit speaking. Because it glorifies Jesus. It causes us to praise him, to worship him. It causes us to exalt the Lord, to acknowledge, to honour him. Nothing to do with man or his cleverness, his ideas, his programs, his glossy magazines and his great outreach. It glorifies Jesus. It's not a man building his empire. Speaking of the kingdom, isn't it? Why will he glorify Jesus? Because he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Isn't that wonderful? We looked at last a while ago, didn't we, that he no longer calls us servants, but he calls us friends, because a servant doesn't know what his Lord's doing. But I've called you friends, because all things that the Father has shown me, I've made known to you. There's that revelation. Praise God. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Glory to God, a joint heir with Christ. And you thought I was going to talk about healing and pounds in the bank, didn't you? You thought I was going to talk about the occasional healing or, oh look, goody, I've got some money. Oh, praise God. Don't limit God to that. I mean, that's where we start. We have to start somewhere. And healing is important when we're going through, when we're in pain, you know, going through a trial, we need that healing. Sure. We're going through a financial trial. We've got more month than money and bills are coming in. We need that money. Absolutely. Absolutely. But what are we putting first? What is our attention? Where is our affection? Where is our thinking? Who does our heart belong to? Now here it is. He takes what's his mind and declares it to you. And then, just like the Lord, isn't it, to expand our heart and challenge our faith even more, he says, all things that the Father has are mine. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Praise God. A joint heir with Christ, who is the unique heir of his Father. Praise the living God. Now, are we beginning to get an idea of what belongs to us? Romans 8:32. You think, well, that's an amazing thing. Praise the Lord, that is incredible. That is just so amazing. I won't use the word unbelievable because I'm a believer, but that is really, really stretching my faith. But let's look at it from God's side. Why are we amazed? Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, there's that, liberally, freely give us all things? Whatever we get, friends, it's got to be less than what we've already got. We've already got the best, we've already got the most. Anything else got to be easier to God than to give up his own son? Hasn't God already done the hardest thing by giving us that sinless, that beautiful, sinless body sacrificed for you and I? Sacrificed for you and I. Freely given, liberally, just, I'll do it, Lord. Father, I'll do it. Here am I, send me. Praise God. And what a mess that was made of that body. But praise God, raised in incorruption. Raised in corruption. Praise God, you know, in incorruption. I mean, you know, uncorrupted. Psalm tells us, and is it Psalm 16:10, that the Lord, while he was in the tomb, God preserved him, but even after death, there was no corruption on that sinless body. Now friends, we will have a glorious body. We don't yet know, because we haven't seen him, what we shall be like, but we know we shall be like him when he appears. We will have the same glorious body that he has, to dwell with him forever in eternity in his presence. Praise God, this corruption will put on incorruption. Now those who are believing to be caught away, we don't have to taste of death for that. We will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, caught away to be with him forever. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we will be caught up with them, our bodies changed in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. Praise God. Shall we still continue with the benefits? Well, let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Just to remind us, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, it's not that we're preaching out, I know, okay, we've said bless quite a lot, but we're not preaching a bless me gospel. Right, this is an encouragement of faith. Because we also mentioned the cost. Now, these blessings are given. We're not striving for them. This isn't our motive. Because you think about the world's economy. You think about whatever your ideology, right, whether you're capitalist, communist, any political or economic ideology, the end result is the same. everyone that is the world, everyone on planet Earth, is competing for resources. At the end of the day, that's all, it's a rat race. Whether it's red or blue, it's a rat race.
Yeah.
You just want the biggest slice of the pie. That's all it is. And so God has delivered us from that. God has delivered us from that rat race, that covetousness, that greed, that anxiety. The blessings which God provides, he provides because we've given him our all. We're too busy about the kingdom to be concerned about our next meal or how our next bill is going to be paid or why haven't I got as much as my next door neighbour. God has delivered us from that wrong spirit. Praise God. All these isms are a worldly label just to cover over the basic greed, the basic fear, the arrogance, the pride of man that I want a bigger slice of the cake than my neighbour. God has delivered us from that. Praise God. And then without looking at all of them, Revelation 2 and 3, for your own edification, you can have a look at that, Revelation 2 and 3, all those wonderful promises made to overcomers, including sitting with him in his throne. There we go again, back up into the heavenlies. The synagogue of Satan, made to come and bow before you and to know that he has loved you. Praise God. All your enemies, all those that have persecuted, God will bring them. He'll grab them by the scruff of the neck and say, right, this is the one that I've loved. This person that you persecuted, that you accused, that you ministered death and condemnation to, actually you did it to me. You did it to the apple of my eye. This is the one I loved. Praise God. Now then, verse 3, Psalm 103 and verse 3. He forgives all our iniquities and he heals all our diseases. Praise the Lord. The full, unlimited, atoning, sacrificial death, redemptive, sacrificial, vicarious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every disease, every iniquity, none of it is excluded. Now, this is why we learn the conditions. This is why God teaches us faith. This is often why there's a delay, because that enduring faith, that staying with it, that getting the word into our heart, we very soon realise that yes, gifts, miracles, praise God for that, but the healing, he sent his word and he healed them. The healing comes from the word in our heart, and as we express that faith, as the faith from the word in our heart is given back to God, we begin to appropriate what he has provided. Because his word is spirit, his word is life. His word heals. His spirit heals. His life heals, delivers, fixes. You say, well, again, where it... Okay, so if you're asking where it is, right, there's impatience working there, there's unbelief. We've not yet received it by faith. If the manifestation, if the lack of manifestation bothers us in the wrong way, bothers us, then we need to think, well, maybe have we received it in the first place? Praise God. If we can rest, just rest in this time, overcome even the severest trial, then that's because we've received it. We're in faith. We're believing. But you see, to do that, there are principles involved. Don't make a law out of it, but there are principles involved. If we're going to believe, if we're going deeper with God. And the first among them is a prayer life. Things can look very negative all the time. We're struggling along in our own strength, not looking to him. But as we'll take the time and look to him, and spend that time in his presence, that genuine, true communion with God, things take on a whole different perspective while we're waiting for the manifestation. So please don't confuse manifestation with receiving. We receive it when we pray. We receive it when we pray believing. So make sure when we pray we're believing. As soon as we release faith, God releases that thing that we're seeking. Now, no matter how long it takes to manifest, we have it. We have received it. It is ours. God will heal every disease, all our diseases. He will heal, he will forgive all our iniquities. He will change this heart. Is there a hardness of heart? Is there pride? Is there unbelief? Is there fear? Is there any wrong thing, whatever? You know, you have a conscience. The Lord will open your eyes. Is there blindness? Maybe there are things that God, you know, is preparing you for deliverance you don't yet see. But He is preparing. He's working on the heart to bring us to a place. See, deliverance can't take place until we first see our need. It's no good somebody telling you, pointing it, because that's going to hurt. That's wrong. We have to see our need. And in seeing our need, we bow the knee. We acknowledge. We repent. And then, submitting to God, we can resist the devil, and the devil will flee from us. So He's preparing for deliverance. He's preparing vessels everywhere, because He wants to start a work. So He's preparing. Praise God to receive the message. And that's why we're waiting. That's why we're waiting on God, because He's working at both ends. He's working in the hearts of those that are about to receive our message and ministry, and He's working in the vessels that are going to present that message. So He's getting to the root, is all I'm saying. That forgiveness of all iniquity, that healing of all diseases, there is a root that He has to expose. People ask for prayer, you know, pray for healing of this, pray for healing of that. Right, praise the Lord. Yeah, absolutely. Be it unto you according to your faith. But also know, dear brother, dear sister, that God gets to the root in order to bring about that manifestation. Roots will be exposed, roots will be dealt with, doors will be closed in your life. Praise God. It's a full redemption. It is a full redemption. Your healing has been provided for you at Calvary. It is being wrought in you through the resurrection. Praise God. The Holy Spirit now is going to just touch that thing, and in His right time, and you'll get your deliverance, you'll get your repentance, your whatever it is you're crying out for. He redeems your life from destruction. A lot of destruction whirling about at the moment, but He redeems your life from destruction. The enemy is seeking in various different natural means as well as supernatural to destroy this work that God is starting. This work that God has started and is doing. That old dragon at the foot of the woman, getting ready to give birth to the man-child, wanting to destroy. Not wanting to welcome it into the world, not wanting to congratulate the mother, wanting to destroy. But God is redeeming. God has redeemed our life from that destruction. He's redeemed our life from that sin, from the, you know, sometimes we're our own worst enemies, and we open the door. But we looked last time, didn't we? The destroyer, praise God. No weapon formed against us will prosper. He's created the waster to destroy, but that's only an instrument in His hand. He's redeemed our life from that destruction, from death, from corruption, from the power of sin. You see, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, you know, praise God for this, but I'm not experiencing it, well, channel that before God. Lord, thank You for this word, but I'm not experiencing it. Lord, what are You saying? And I guarantee the thing that He'll do, He'll answer that prayer. He'll begin to gently, lovingly Well, I say gently, but he'll deal with it, that unbelief, whatever hindrance, whatever it is. If you're honest, you bow the knee, Lord, I'm not experiencing this as I should, then wait before him. Tell him that. Open up to him. Acknowledge that. And as you ask for that, as you acknowledge your need for that, in time, he will begin to work with you each day to bring you to a place where you do experience it. He has given his life for you to experience it, not just talk about it. And that's what he's working with. He crowns us. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Oh, praise God. Loving kindness. Tender mercies. He's not harsh. He's not legalistic. He doesn't condemn. Man does. We do. With the best intention, with the best intention, a zealous preacher who's theologically understood the cross, but he hasn't got off his own problems, so he's unintentionally, he's blind at that point. That's why we pray one for another. He's ministering his problem to the congregation. So there's that death, there's that condemnation. And the people under it are thinking, oh Lord, what have I done wrong? Is it me? Is it my fault? No, dear friends, pray for that preacher, because he's okay, he's seen the cross, but he's not understood it. Friends, the word is pure. Don't let the devil condemn. The word is pure. To set us free, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth of divine healing will set you free from sickness. The truth of deliverance will set you free from oppression. The truth of the redemption, the redemptive power in the name of Jesus will set you free from your sins. Praise God. Loving kindness. He's not harsh. He doesn't minister death in that sense. The death of the self-life, of the flesh, is because of sin. It's the old man that has been put to death. But the new man in Christ is all about life. God's emphasis is on life, dear friends. And we some still minister death and condemnation to their brother and sister because of their self-righteousness, because they have it in their head but not in their hearts. They've read their books, they've heard their sermons, but they've not bowed the knee to live that experience and to walk it. So in their pride and self-righteousness, they won't lift a finger to help, but they'll be very quick to criticise, won't they? Right, death and condemnation. But that is not God. That's not the way our loving Heavenly Father works. He gave his life so that we might have that life. Loving kindness, tender mercies. Okay, you slip up, you fail, you fall short. But he's right there, not to reprove you, not to reproach you with the fact that he died for you, but to encourage you, son, daughter, get up, keep walking, my love has not left you. You may feel awful, you may feel dreadful, but my blood still prevails on your behalf. Be encouraged. Praise God. Praise the living God. He satisfies your mouth with good things. So, I mean, actually going back to that tender mercy, again, it's the great commandment, isn't it? How would you want your brother to love you? Well, that's how you love them. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your being, and your neighbour as yourself. To love somebody as yourself means you treat that person the way you yourself would want to be treated. Okay, there's sin, there's mistakes, there's errors. We got it wrong. Just allow the Holy Spirit to do his work of conviction in that person without pointing out the obvious. Friends, if you see something, then it's to be wrought in prayer. Praise God. We have to be very careful, don't we? We have to go very prayerfully in dealing with our brother and sister. Because they're going through some things. It's a painful walk, this. It can be. can't hit the cross, putting us to death. But this is why we're looking at the fact, praise God, we're resurrection Christians. Our faith is in the resurrection. If all we're ever going to do is point out the faults and the sins and what's wrong, then we have to ask the question, have we really seen the cross? Have we really understood the cross? Because the cross deals with our past. It deals with all those past things, those wrong things, those negative things, those hurt things. That was dealt with at the cross. We're now a new creation in Christ. And whatever God has to expose to remove the contradiction to that and bring about the experience, that new creation experience, that new creation reality, God will do it. But it's the Holy Spirit doing it. Praise the Lord. Through tender mercies. We love God, we trust Him because of His tender mercies. You can't trust or love somebody from legalism, making a law out of it, being harsh or judgmental or too quick to shoot a person down. We're all having to learn this one, I'm sure. Maybe me more than most, but I know my God is tender in His mercies. Because of the cross, He has forever opened up an access into His heart that can be touched by a prayer of faith. Think on that. When God says knock and it shall be opened, He doesn't mean that He's not willing to open. See, a lot of Christians think that He's unwilling to open, but He's not. Because He's invited us. The very fact He's invited us to knock in order that the door is open means He's willing to open. What he's looking for is faith. Who's going to take Him up on that? Who is sufficiently interested in their redemption to take Him up on that gracious invitation and knock and walk through that open door? Praise God. Praise the living God. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, praise God. Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now that doesn't mean you can't enjoy the occasional slice of cake or a bar of chocolate. But if you live on Coke and crisps and chocolate, your health is going to suffer. So a nice balanced diet and a nice clean healthy lifestyle, all of which, not legalistic remember, but all of which the Holy Spirit will work, because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, so He will help you look after that temple. But friends, it's all about attitude. Because it's not only satisfying your mouth with good things in terms of what's going in your mouth, the food, but what comes out. Our confession can destroy the health. If it's a bad confession, the health that God is working will be put on hold, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Some are reaping bad health or difficult circumstances or adverse circumstances in our life because we've sown a negative confession. We will change our lives if we can change our confession, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's worth thinking about, isn't it? The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Praise God, He's the perfect judge. He judges righteously, but He's the deliverer. He sets us free. When the enemy who accuses, He comes and He reminds, praise God, of His righteousness and His mercy, His grace, His redemption in our lives. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. Revelation to Moses, who led the children of Israel through the wilderness. But the children of Israel saw His acts but didn't believe. They saw those mighty works and yet still couldn't believe. So it's all about what is in the heart, isn't it? Joshua was of another spirit, praise God. Joshua and Caleb was another spirit. And God has given us that spirit to know His ways, not just His miracles, not just His acts, praise God. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Praise God. He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy, He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Listen to that. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in mercy. If anyone had a right to immediately destroy somebody because of sin, it would be God. And his holiness would do that. But in his love, he's provided a covering so that his true heart can be expressed. His true heart, praise God, his true heart of mercy, of grace, hallelujah, of forgiveness. He has to judge, but he delights in mercy. Praise God. He will not always strive with us. He will not always quarrel. He won't always argue. Nor will he keep his anger forever. So even when we're overcoming something, we're walking something out, and God in his righteousness has to deal with us, it's not forever. He's not holding a grudge. It's a discipline, friend. It's a paternal discipline that is afterward going to yield the righteous, the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And he will never exact what he's fully entitled to. No matter what we go through, he will never exact what he is fully entitled to. It will always, always be far less than really he could have asked from us. He will never deal with us according to our sins, but always according to his mercy. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. No, he hasn't. He's not given us what we deserve. He's given us mercy. He's not given us justice. He's given us mercy. Praise God. That's why we're saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you hear of people dying, it puts it in perspective, doesn't it? You know, we know that, physical death is not the end. And here we are, feasting God's banquet, God's love, his grace, his mercy, his redemption. We need to be praising the living God, don't we? For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. You see, we're fearing him. We know what he's righteous to do, but his mercy is toward us because we fear him, that holy, healthy fear of God, that beginning of wisdom. Not a dread fear, but he is holy, he is sovereign, he means what he says. You can't mock God. As far as the east is from the west, which is, you'll never get any further away from the east as the west. If you go on a journey and you start going east, you'll never actually get there because you end up going west, don't you? So he's removed, praise God, he has removed our transgressions, our rebellion, our guilt, our sin from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're made of. He knows what we face each day. He knows the portion that we have each day to cope with. He knows. So, okay, we're bearing a burden. We have a responsibility. Give it over to him. Rest in him. Rest in him. He remembers we're dust. What does that mean? Adam, he created Adam out of the clay. He created Adam out of the clay, and then Adam, from then on, the Bible teaches a thing called transducianism, where, you know, procreation. So from every generation, you see, this is why God has ordained marriage. He takes it seriously. You don't just impart physical, biological cells. You impart the soul, you impart the life, the spirit, the soul, the body is in those first two cells that meet. And the meeting of those first two cells, that is life. That is a life. The spirit, the soul, the personality, the person, not just a mass of cells. Praise God. but he remembers the original the original creation. Dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. Praise God. I know all about that as a gardener. You know, you nurture it, you care for it, you look after it, and then a week later you walk all over it with a lawnmower. It's finished. It's gone. The wind passes over it. It's gone. And this place remembers it no more. Praise God. But the mercy of the Lord. So there's humility. That's the contrast between what we are and the mercy of God that endures forever. Everlasting to everlasting. Again, on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children. Your children and your grandchildren will have his righteousness. Praise God, salvation of loved ones, household salvation. To such as keep his covenant, to those who remember his commandments to do them. There we go, doing. What, not just hearing, but doing. And it's God's grace. Praise God, doing that. And so those who've understood what they are in terms of their flesh and how great God is in terms of his mercy, immediately we get this kingdom revelation. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. And that is always going to be our perspective, friends. Whatever we are, whatever we experience on this life, friends, we've got a kingdom. We are joint heirs of that kingdom, joint heirs with Christ of his kingdom. That eternal kingdom will rule and reign with him. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So the angels called upon to bless, which they already are, aren't they? Praising and blessing. Those great angels who excel in strength, blessing the Lord, heeding the voice of his word, carrying out his commands perfectly to the letter. Ministers of his who do his pleasure and all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, praise God, brethren. Let's praise him. Let's proper praise him. Let's worship. Let's bless the Lord for all his greatness, his tender mercies. Praise God. And when we hear a message that has our name and address on it, that, oh Lord, that's me. Friends, that's love. That's conviction. That's the Holy Spirit pinpointing a certain thing that he's removing, that he's delivering. Because he is perfecting love in the body of Christ. He's perfecting mercy. He's building his body, friends. Building the body of Christ. So let him do whatever he has to do. That cleansing, that deep work. But remember, it's deliverance. It's redemption. It's mercy. It's grace. Remember who we're serving. God who is life, love and light. Are we life, love and light? Because if he is, that's what we are. We're joint heirs with Christ. Whatever he is, so are we in this world. Are we ministering that love, life and light to our brothers, to all around us? No matter what their reaction, but are we ministering it? Now, to some it will be death. Some will reject. But there's nothing in you that's rejected them. It's in them. We are still to be his life, light and love. In him. Praise God. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, you his saints. God bless you, brethren, and keep blessing the Lord. Keep praising him for that wonderful, glorious redemption, that full redemption, healing, deliverance. Yes, prosperity is an ugly word only because it's been misused. But abundance, we call it abundance, provision, full provision for every need. All in Christ. And you're a joint heir of that, friends. Don't let the devil rob. Do not let the devil rob you. Whatever you've done still belongs to you. You're still his. You still belong to Jesus. Just bow that knee, acknowledge. Lord, clean me up. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You remember my frame. I'm just dust. I fear you, Lord. I know you're right. But Lord, here am I believing in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
God bless you, brethren.
Jesus is